Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Tomorrow is January 22nd. January 22nd is probably one of the more infamous anniversaries, if you will, that our country has. And of course, that is the day we look to as the day that abortion, the taking of an unborn life, was made legal in the United States. Personally, I feel that this is one of the greater injustices that our country has imposed on any of its citizens, because according to the Fifth Amendment, it's illegal to take a human life without due process. What does the Fifth Amendment say about that?
In part, toward the end of it, it says you cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law.
Without due process of law, when a person is convicted of a crime, a capital offense, what do we have? We have a trial to see if, in fact, that person is guilty of the crime that is worthy of taking his or her life. There is a court trial. That is the due process that the Constitution is talking about. Unborn children are not given due process, but yet their lives are taken. Now, I know the argument that you hear from a lot of progressives, and believe me, there are a lot of stupid arguments out there in order to justify this heinous crime. But the problem is if the unborn child is not in fact human, what is it?
Well, and a lot of people are going to answer you at this point, and they're going to say it's a blob of tissue.
But we know DNA disproves that nonsensical argument that we've heard for years since 1973. DNA says no. So they come up with all sorts of other end-arounds to try and justify. Well, there's no personhood allowed. If the child is human, don't you believe the child should have rights?
According to the Fifth Amendment, yes.
You would absolutely have to believe that. So that argument that it's not human, if it's not human, then tell me what it is.
And well, then the major argument that many people will make at this point is to say, it's my body. What right do you have to tell another person how to live?
Well, as far as the argument, it's my body, we know that that's not true. It's another body. In fact, in about 50% of the cases, the other body that the woman has in her womb is not even of the same sex as the mother. Let's say the unborn child has male genitals. How can a woman honestly say with a straight face that it's her body? Now, if she means that the unborn is in her body and that gives her a right to do with it what she will, I say you still run into the complications of the Fifth Amendment and taking that life.
Well, and then you have the case of women or men who abuse their children after they're born, and we call that child abuse. So why is it not child abuse if you do something dangerous or detrimental to a child that's in the womb? Just because it's not been born yet doesn't mean that it's not human.
Prior to the time the child leaves the birth canal, it's legal to kill that child. But once the child leaves the birth canal, it's now illegal to kill the child. What changed in that time period? Location. Really, nothing but location changed. The child was still just as much a human as the child was before he or she saw the light of day. I don't see how that argument holds water. But what's sad about this whole controversy, is facts don't seem to really matter.
Well, referring to it's my body, a lot of people would say the preborn infant, we would call it, fetus, or they're going to, a blob of tissue, if that's what they want to call what's inside the woman's body, is not fully developed. And because it's not developed, therefore, we should have the ability until the birthday. We don't celebrate the conception day, but the birthday. we should be allowed to make our own decisions there.
It still doesn't matter because the child is still human. Whether it's fully developed or not should not even be a part of this issue. If, in fact, the unborn is human, it should be deserving of what we call human rights. Why are they deprived to the unborn?
Another argument, Bill, that's used is overpopulation. Look at all the people we have. We can't even take care of the people we have now. So why should we not allow for this population control procedure to be done?
The thing is there's still a lot of places for people to live, and certainly there is a lot of resources out there for the populations that we have. How does that take away the ethical responsibility of taking a human life? I just don't see that. Now, the reason I bring this up, because you're wondering, well, what does this have to do with Mormonism? Mormonism portrays itself as a pro-life religion. And there have been many statements made by LDS leaders in the past that certainly seem to point in that direction. But I will tell you, though, folks, the Mormon Church really seems to be all over the map when it comes to not only what is human life and when does life begin, but whether or not it's okay to take human life under certain circumstances. We want to look at some of the statements that Mormon leaders have made on this issue, and we want to start with Gordon Hinckley, who was the 15th president of the Mormon Church.
President Hinckley said, "While we denounce it, we make allowance in such circumstances as when pregnancy is the result of incest or rape, when the life or health of the mother is judged by competent medical authority to be in serious jeopardy, or when the fetus is known by competent medical authority to have serious defects that will not allow the baby to survive beyond birth."
When it says that the pregnancy is the result of incest or rape, the question I would like to ask our LDS listeners is, why should the sins of a third party affect the life of a person who really had nothing to do with that sin? I don't understand why the child should be killed because of the sins of someone else of a rape case.
But don't we do that in our society, Bill? When somebody is convicted of murder, a father, then don't we go and kill the kids?
Of course not. And you're using this kind of hyperbole to show the absurdity of such an argument. But this is supposed to be a church that is led by men who are getting their marching orders directly from the Almighty. Why would it be okay in the case of incest or rape, a sin of a third party, to take the life of another human being? I don't understand that. I'm not saying that it wouldn't be difficult for a mother to carry that child to term. Of course it would be traumatic to a certain extent for a woman to do that. But again, we're looking at the ethics of this. I don't see the ethics involved in that kind of a position on the part of the Mormon leadership.
Now, Bill, you and I know people who have used adoption as a solution to this whole issue. And if that kind of case comes up, I would think that, along with the negative impact a pregnancy might have on a mother's life or their financial instability, or they'll be a single mother, I think adoption answers those things pretty well.
I would tend to agree. And unfortunately, to adopt a child in this country is extremely difficult. The expense, the hoops that a couple has to go through in order to adopt a child are certainly a huge burden. When it talks about in the case of the life or health of the mother is judged by competent medical authorities to be in serious jeopardy, this is certainly much more controversial, but you and I both know of examples where the mother and father were told that if they have this child that the mother would die, and that didn't happen. And some feel that I'm just going to trust God and I'm just going to allow God to undertake in this situation. You might disagree with that, but they are at least putting their trust in God to take care of that situation for them.
That's a very difficult situation. But as you mentioned, we do know people like that. And so I think we have to understand that medical doctors are not always omniscient. We've got to look at all the different evidence.
When I talked about mixed signals that have been given by the LDS leadership when it comes to abortion, one of the things that we do hear Mormon leaders saying is that abortion is a sin. In fact, Spencer Kimball said, "Abortion must be considered one of the most revolting and sinful practices in this day." He went on to say that members of the church guilty of being parties to the sin of abortion must be subjected to the disciplinary action of the councils of the church as circumstances warrant. We remember the reiteration of the Ten Commandments given by the Lord in our own time when he said, "Thou shalt not steal, neither commit adultery, nor kill, nor do anything like unto it." Now, Kimball is citing Doctrine and Covenants, section 59, verse 6. And it's interesting that he makes reference to the Ten Commandments, because the Ten Commandments, when it talks about thou shalt not kill, we know that that means don't murder. It's not saying that you can't kill in the case of, let's say, a war or in capital punishment situations. It means you cannot murder. Here's where I have a real problem.
Well, and we need to mention that the Stake Presidents and Bishops Handbook 1 from 2010 says on page 57 that abortion is not defined as murder.
And that, I think, is a huge contradiction within Mormonism, because how can the leadership say that abortion is a sin if it's not murder? If it's not murder, please tell me, what is it then? If they're not taking a human life, and that's one thing you know about abortion, it does take a human life. Every time it takes a human life. And you can quibble over whether or not it's human all you want, but science is not on your side if you're going to say it's not. But the point I'm trying to make here is, how can Mormon leaders like Spencer Kimball and Hinckley and others talk about the sin of abortion while at the same time, as you mentioned, page 57 in the Stake Presidents and Bishops Handbook 1, it only goes back to 2010, says, and I'm reading right from the manual, abortion is not defined as murder. What is it then? And if it's not murder, why is it sin?
Now, some of our listeners, Bill, might be hearing this and they've had abortions. We have a forgiving God who loves us very much. He can forgive.
He is faithful and just to forgive us of all types of sins. And certainly a woman who has gone through that can ask for the Lord's forgiveness. And I believe he will give that forgiveness. In Mormonism, it becomes a little sticky. I think the reason why they have to insist that it's not murder is because murder is an unforgivable sin in Mormonism.
Yep.
So they have to go with this huge inconsistency. The point we want to make here is, yes, the Mormon Church does give some statements that sounds like they're pro-life, but at the same time, they also show that they are very inconsistent. And as I said at the earlier part of this show, as long as our nation allows this horrible sin of abortion to continue, there is no reason why we should expect the God of the Bible to bless us.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. At Mormonism Research Ministry, we're committed to equipping Christian believers to effectively share their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. That's why we produce Viewpoint on Mormonism, as well as operate our website, mrm.org, where you can find a wealth of information on this topic. We also have books and downloadable MP3s available online. In addition, we invite you to join in on the conversation at our blog site called Mormon Coffee. We want to be your resource for helping you better share the Christian faith.